Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Hey, it's Danielle, Will, and Ryder from Pod Meets World. Thanks to our friends at Hyundai, we were able to record a very special episode for you guys at the one and only, wait for it,
Boy Meets World House.
Take a listen.
Are there any moments or spots on any of the sets we worked on over the 7 years that you guys felt more at home, that were like your little spots on the set you like to hang out?
I'm afraid it was the sink.
Oh, really? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You had to act by the sink a lot.
Yeah.
I was behind the counter.
Yeah.
Right. Doing business constantly.
Uh-huh.
Mom stuff.
Uh-huh. Disciplining you in some way.
This has been brought to you by the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5. New episode out now. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome to Stuff from the Science Lab from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey guys, welcome to the podcast. This is Allison Lattermilk, the science editor at HowStuffWorks.com.
And this is Robert Lamb, science writer for HowStuffWorks.com.
Today we're talking about eating in space.
Yes, and I think the most famous form of space cuisine is, of course, space ice cream. You've had space ice cream, right?
No.
You've never had space ice cream.
I have
not.
You're
never 7 years old.
I've coveted it many times. I walk past it. I think they sell it at Turner Field. We're based in Atlanta.
Really?
And I've never had it. My husband always dissuades me.
Like they bring it around on the little trays?
No, there's just a little cart that sells space ice cream.
Wow. Oh, now you're,
or what purports
you're
to
not
be
confusing
space
it
ice cream.
With the ice cream of the future, where it's the little balls, right?
Oh, maybe I am.
That's the kind they have like at Six Flags.
Oh, that's what I'm confusing it with.
See, I think that's just normal ice cream, or it's just like made into little frozen balls.
Regardless, I have had just regular old ice cream, which I very much like. You had space ice cream?
I have had space ice cream. Not because I've been into space, obviously, but because they sell it at pretty much every space museum, gift shop, or every Air Force museum. And my dad was like,
I think it's a big seller.
Yeah, it's a huge seller. That not so great on the taste. Like I think a lot of kids.
What flavor did you have?
I had Neapolitan styrofoam, I think, because it all kind of tastes like ice cream, but also tastes like packing material.
Oh, that sounds really unpleasant. You know, actually, they don't eat all that much ice cream in space. I heard that Apollo 7 was the only mission to have actually eaten this freeze-dried
so we've been
concoction.
Lying to children.
Also, it's coated in gelatin, too. So there's a big discrepancy between what seems to be astronaut ice cream and what actually is astronaut ice cream. Moreover, they have eaten real ice cream in space with the addition of a refrigerator on the Skylab mission.
Wow. So now I feel completely deceived.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they had a refrigerator, right?
Yeah. So the space ice cream is bogus, basically. And okay, here's the last thing while we're talking about sweet stuff in space. This one guy turned 47, an astronaut by the name of, I think his name is Daniel Brandenstein. Instead of giving him a real birthday cake, which they had no, I mean, they had no obligation to pack up a birthday cake and send it into space. They gave him an inflatable birthday cake, an inflatable, non-edible birthday cake. Oh,
like it wasn't even like a chocolate membrane that had been filled with air. It was.
No. I think the guy just got a pop-up birthday cake.
Was it on fire?
No, I don't think they do too much lighting on fire in space. So that's kind of the sweet stuff, but there's a whole lot of food to be eaten in space other than just ice cream and...
Right. It's not just guys and gals picking out on ice cream and Pop-Tarts.
What else? What are some of the selections that surprised you?
Oh, well, let's see. There's a whole list. I mean, like everything from like, there's like chicken a la king.
Chicken a la king. Ooh, yeah. Beef stroganoff, a classic.
Yeah. There's a shrimp cocktail. Actually,
I love the shrimp cocktail. You know, I was talking about the shrimp cocktail because I have this image of the astronauts after hours. They're in their party dresses. They're talking about space weather. They're dipping the shrimp cocktail into the cocktail sauce. That's a really good visual.
It is. I imagine that's exactly what it's probably happening right now.
No doubt.
But yeah, you can get like scrambled eggs. You can get various puddings, even butterscotch pudding, I think, which...
Yeah, I think you were a little irate that butterscotch pudding had been into space and you hadn't.
Yeah, like why does butterscotch pudding go into orbit?
And then beverages, of course, we have some of those.
Oh, yeah, a ton of those.
You're kind of a coffee drinker.
Yeah, and there's like three different varieties of, well, two varieties of coffee and then decaffeinated. But yeah, you can get like Kona coffee or regular coffee, and you can get it in various various forms of like sweetened, artificial sweetener, or, you know, with cream or without cream. So it's good that everybody's going to be wired up there.
Yeah. Well, on that same front, or oppositely, you can't drink alcohol in space. You guys probably knew that, but I wonder if the Russians have figured out a way to smuggle in some alcohol with their Foxberry juice.
I wonder. Yeah.
Probably not, though.
Or make it. They've been up there for pretty long stretches at a time.
So they're doing some moonshine on the side.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you can actually eat fresh fruits and vegetables if you get to them fast enough in your space flight.
Yeah, I guess one of the key things to mention, and we'll get more into this kind of thing a little later, but the whole reason that you have ice cream that's dehydrated is because you don't have to, and this may sound kind of obvious, but if you take all the water out of a product, then you don't have to carry the water up with you in some circumstances.
Right. So it's like you're going on a big backpacking trip or, you know, a space flight, as it were.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to take what you're going to carry. And I mean, you have to be mindful of that all the time. And then the other thing is also spoilage too. And then trash. I mean,
yeah,
the volume
right.
of trash you want to pack in and pack out.
Yeah, exactly.
So choosing what to eat. That sounds kind of fun. You're married, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys go through that whole wedding cake business where you get to taste all the different wedding cakes?
Yeah. I went out and got to sample three or four different cakes, you know, and then zero in on the one that we were going to go with.
Well, astronauts sort of have a similar deal in that... A few months before their mission, they get to go in and taste all the different foods available to them, and then they check the ones that they want to eat. And the ones that they rate a 6 or higher can wind up on the menu. So, you know, it's kind of fun. Could be kind of interesting to taste all these various space foods. But say you have this predilection for junk food.
Right,
well,
like
that's,
you absolutely need Doritos.
Right. Or chocolate pudding. Or scrambled eggs for...
Scrambled eggs is a junk food?
No, not so much.
I guess you put like syrup on them, maybe.
Or Tabasco? Well, we'll get into the Tabasco sauce a little later.
Yeah.
Anyway, so your food choices still have to fly by a nutritionist. They have to approve them because your nutritional requirements and your caloric requirements are a little different in space. I mean, you eat less. They have this whole formula that they come up with based on your weight, height, and age. And they come up with an optimal calorie intake. And then things like... Your bone density loss in space, they want to make sure you have more calcium.
Oh.
Yeah. And less iron, too, I think. I don't know why that is, though.
So it's basically a balance. The whole food selection process is a balance between making sure that the food is going to give the astronaut the nutrients they need, but also making sure that this is food that the astronaut is going to really genuinely want to eat, because you're not going to have as strong an appetite up there, correct?
Right.
So, and they want you to want your food. They don't want it to be just drudgery.
Right. But the thing is, I mean, taste in space is a little different from taste here on our lovely planet Earth, in that your smell, your sense of smell is diminished because the odor really isn't wafting towards you. And you think about how smell influences your appetite and your eating now. And that's less of a factor in space. You know, you just,
I never even thought of that, you know, just.
Yeah. So you want your space food to be kind of spicy too, because what happens in space is that, you wind up accumulating a lot of fluid in your lungs and you wind up being stuffed up all the time. So it's basically eating with a cold. So you really can't taste your food that well. So you add a lot of, you know, salt and pepper.
But not salt and pepper like we think of salt and pepper, because obviously you don't want to just sprinkle all these little bits of salt and pepper into the air, because they're going to float all over the place.
Right.
So you actually have liquid salt and pepper,
yeah,
which I know sounds delicious. The pepper is suspended in an oil,
mm-hmm,
and the salt is in water. So basically, if you want to put a little more salt on your space fries, it's going to be like pouring a contact solution on them.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's really appetizing. So digestion in space, what's that like?
Well, it's pretty interesting and kind of gross, which kind of this digestion in general. But digestion is a complicated process even on Earth. It takes several hours for us to digest something, and it depends on multiple steps. Kind of like, you know, the different stations in an assembly line or a disassembly line. You gotta have gravity, because we're beings that exist in a gravitational environment. So everything's gonna be pulled down by gravity.
Sure, we like gravity.
Yeah, and then of course, we're mostly fluid and our systems are fluid based. You need a good fluid balance. You also need need your bacteria in the small intestines. That plays mm-hmm. a key role. And also just physical activity, moving around. And all of those are going to be affected to a certain degree by microgravity. Obviously, your food's not going to flow through your bowels as well. The bacterial concentrations are going to be altered. You're going to have decreased muscular activity just by nature of being, you know, in orbit. But it's also you're going to have less moving muscular activity, moving stuff through the gut.
Right, that's why they got to get him on the treadmill.
Right.
The Stephen Colbert treadmill.
Yes, the Stephen Colbert treadmill. So they say your first day in orbit is basically going to be constipation. And you're going to...
That sounds like a blast.
Yeah, well, yeah. But you're going to be constipated, you're going to have a pretty upset stomach, and you're probably not going to want to eat unless you want to just have some terrifying cosmic vomit going on. And... generally, you don't want that. Also, you're not going to want to take any laxatives in space for, I think, obvious reasons.
That's a great tip. Thanks, Robert.
Yeah, well, we just want to touch all the bases about bodily functions.
So if any astronauts are listening that are about to go into space, and just remember, no laxatives.
Yes, don't try and smuggle any on. One of the interesting things is that if you, especially due to like the muscular activity, is that if all this stuff isn't operating right,
you can end up with some pretty crazy damage to your intestines, right? It's sort of like the blunt trauma associated with,
trauma, like a car wreck or even like surgeries can produce this on Earth, but it's actually pretty easy to get in space. Yeah, you end up with intestinal blockages and other, nasty, situations. So you want to keep a close eye on your, intestines.
The state of your GI.
Yeah.
You know, I actually found a old interview with this flight surgeon, Dr. Philip Scarpa. He's from the Kennedy Space Center, and he was saying that eating in space is kind of like eating on Earth if you're laying down, like the Romans, you know, reclining or whatever.
Grapes.
Yeah. So it's kind of hard to do. You don't feel all that hungry, perhaps, when you're in that position eating. So that was his kind of equivalent to eating in space, which makes sense to me. And the same thing with your digestive system, processing it through. Not all that easy to do if you're laying down. That's why you're supposed to go for a walk around the block, right?
Yeah, or on the Stephen Colbert, as the case may be.
A nice little stroll. So they really don't have too much preparation devoted to all this space food, right? I mean, what does the kitchen look like?
Basically it's just a matter of you're either adding water to something, or you're adding hot water to something, or you're, you know, nuking it in the microwave.
Yeah. And then, so you get your little tray, which kind of reminds me of the airplane trays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has the little containers for all the different foods. And that's a key thing. You want them in the containers so you can eat a variety of foods at the same time.
Yeah, I like how the NASA website points that out.
But also, you don't want your food to float away, and that helps with that process. And then you get your knife, fork, spoon, or your chopsticks, as in the case of Japan. And you also get some scissors to help you tear into those little food packets.
That's right. Everything's kind of in little... Yeah, little baggies. So
also, would not mind being on dish duty there, because basically you throw stuff out and then you wipe off the utensils with,
yeah, with
these
like pre-moistened
towelettes. Yeah, no big deal.
So what does the future of space food hold for us? I mean, we've come up a pretty good ways already, because early on we were talking like Harville paste in little tubes, kind of like if your toothpaste was flavored like beef or salmon.
Yeah, and they are testing them out on John Glenn, right?
Yeah, and I think he was not a fan.
He was the original space cowboy, that guy.
Yeah.
Among his many other distinctions, I think he was the first American to eat space food in orbit, in Earth's orbit. Anyway, so apart from John Glenn, who was only up in space for a little bit, we're extending our stay, right? So that means we're going to have to pack a lot more food.
Yeah, more food, and food that can sit on the shelf a lot longer.
Right, right. And then eventually, of course, we're going to want to live on the moon or blast off to various colonies.
Yeah, so we're going to want to actually grow food in space.
Hydroponically, so. I think. Yeah. Not quite like marijuana, but more like, you know, soybeans.
Not quite. Or not all of it would be marijuana. I'm not sure how that'll work.
Oh, yeah. It kind of reminds me of that Grow House podcast we did, huh?
Yeah, except in space.
Right, in space. So I had to pick out my ideal meal in space. Did you?
I did.
What would it be?
Well, I think I would basically recreate my college diet, which consisted mostly of ramen noodles and peanut butter sandwiches, because some of the noodle dishes sound pretty good, and you can't beat peanut butter. Only I would probably have to use
crunchy or smooth.
Ooh.
I wonder if they offer both in space.
I don't think it would matter, because the crunchy bits wouldn't float away. But I'd probably go for smooth, just in case, with the digestion issue.
Right, that's a good choice.
Yeah. And I might not be able to use bread. I might have to use tortillas, because they're pretty popular. Because I think if I had like a piece of bread, it would have to be like coated in gelatin, and that's just getting too far from what I'm used to.
And there are all these international folks getting up there into space too, so your selection broadens. You could try some of those Japanese noodles, which sound delicious.
I could trade my peanut butter sandwich for those Japanese noodles.
Or the Indian space curry.
Yes, the Indians are working on creating a space curry for their future exploration of the cosmos, which I'm a huge fan of Indian food. So if that were an option for me, and doctors advised me that it was a good idea for my digestive system, then I would totally go for a space curry.
So you want to know what I would have?
Yeah, tell me. What you got?
Tang.
No.
No, I totally would have Tang. I would definitely have Tang.
Nobody likes Tang.
I love Tang. I think it's great. Also shrimp cocktail. A little mac and cheese, maybe some fresh fruit if we're eating in the first few days of the space flight.
Does Tang really go with shrimp cocktail?
It all goes together.
Yeah.
And ice cream. Definitely.
Space ice cream.
Yeah, space ice cream, since I've never had the real thing.
Place to try it.
It certainly would be.
In space.
So, for everything space related, eating space food, going to the bathroom in space, we've got you covered on the space front on howstuffworks.com. So, check out our site. Or check out our spiffy science stuff blog at blogs.howstuffworks.com.
So many options.
Thanks for listening, guys.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Want more How Stuff Works? Check out our blogs on the howstuffworks.com homepage.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my! Look at that! He is! And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win! Unbelievable! Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.